Rosina. It's the first time I've ever managed to listen to Rosina without screaming and doing my crow call. But I came here with very little voice for you today. I blew my voice out at the rehearsals before my Christmas concert in Massachusetts. And so I had this kind of a voice throughout the whole concert, but people seemed to like it. A couple of women even said it sounded a little sexy. And somebody said it's the first time they heard me sing "What Child Is This?" where they were actually wish they were that little baby that I was singing about, but this is what I have to work with. I'm so grateful to be with you. I'm generally throughout 2015. I was here the final Sunday of the month, as most of you know, and we flipped that this year so that I'm going to be here the first Sunday of each month, and I'm so grateful. And each of those of you who have experienced me at the end of December over all the years that I've been here over the years, you know that I generally tell you at the end of the year, everybody's going, you know, I want to have a happy new year and have a happy new year, and everybody's saying that to everybody at the end of the year. And I've always said to congregations that have invited me to speak that the only way you're going to have a happy new year is if you leave the old you in the old year. Because you can't be the same person that you were in 2015 and expect to have a happy new year, because 2015 was the outpicturing of your inner reality. It was the outpicturing of your inner reality physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, relationally, and in every way. I always want to remind people that where the film is coming from is inside. That it is our inner experience that it is reflected out there for us. So in 2015, if I want to have a happy new year, I have to be a new person. So a happy new year depends upon a happy new you. It also depends upon your absolute willingness, your absolute vigilance, not to carry any of the crap, any of the fear, any of the anxiety, any of the anger, any of the attitudes, any of the victim consciousness that you made welcome in your life in this year. You don't want to bring it into a new year thinking you're going to have a happy new year. If you had a really terrific, over-the-top, happy, and wonderful 2015 like I did, you still don't want to drag that into the new year. You want to be reborn again at the first of the year into a new person, into a new creation. We always have an opportunity, and that's why it's good for us to have these moments where we can say this is an opportunity to have a new experience. So at the turn of the year, we get a chance to go, oh, I'm going to think about now the fact that I can have a new experience. And many of us on our birthdays go, okay, I'm entering into a new year of my incarnation, and I can start again. The truth is that we can start again at any time. So if someone here said to you last Sunday what I just said to you, which is about not being able to have a happy new year without becoming a new you, if no one said that to you, if no one last Sunday reminded you that you cannot have a new year, a happy new year, if you drag your same old attitude of victimization, isolation, aggravation into the coming year, you just can't do it. So if nobody said that to you, and if therefore some of you in this sanctuary actually did wake up hoping for a happy new year and realize that you brought the old you into this new year, if you've noticed already that some of the same stuff that ran through your mind that got you off-centered, the same stuff that put you in fear up until December 31st, if you have already discovered that that stuff is still with you, it means you dragged it into this year. And if no one reminded you in my absence, don't worry about it, because what we're going to evoke is the three-day rule. You know, the 5-second rule. You got your chicken leg, it's so delicious. You got it in your mouth and your fingers slip on the grease and that chicken leg hits the kitchen floor, and as long as you pick it up within 5 seconds, it ain't dirty. We're going to invoke the three-day rule. This is only the middle of the third day. So we're going to say that we're invoking that rule, the third-day rule, so you can just wipe it all away and go, as of today, as of the middle of the third day, anything I dragged into this year that I don't want to be with me this year, that is fully equipped to cause me not to have a happy year this year, I want you to send it on back to last year. I want you to say, get behind me. Go on back to 2015 where you belong. Go on back to the past. And then I want you to remind yourself that the past is over and it can touch you not. And I want you to just take on this year that a new creation is available to you and only you can give it to you. It doesn't matter how many affirmative books you read. It doesn't matter how many preachers you hear preach. It doesn't matter how many songs of affirmation and praise. It's about an allowance. It's about a decision. And I have been blown away over the 40 years of my being a minister how many people cling to the decision to be right rather than to be happy. I have been blown away by the thousands of people all over the world who are absolutely willing to hold on to their sense of fractured being so that they can be right about the people who fractured their being. There are many people who don't want to be free, and some of us who pretend we want to don't want to. I've told you before that there are many people who are just like the guy in the scriptures that drags himself for 38 years to a pool saying, I want to be healed, I want to be healed, I want to be healed. And he thought he did, but he didn't take anything more than a meager first effort for his freedom. It was only when Yeshua bent down to him and asked him over and over, will you be free? And we know the guy came up with his excuses, didn't he? Sure, I'd like to be free. Some of you all have plenty of wonderful excuses for not being free. How can I be free with my wife? How can I be free with my husband? How can I be free in my neighborhood? How can I be free after what happened to me? How can I be free in a unlevel playing field world? How can I be free? Well, the answer is when you want to be, then you will be. A couple of weeks ago, I was asked to be one of the speakers at a ceremony honoring the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. It was a wonderful event. I loved what I had to say, and I loved what the other speakers had to say. But my true blessing was after that ceremony. They had black reenactors, Civil War reenactors that fought for the Union. And so they took us outside, and they were going to put up a flag on the flag post. And so I'm sitting there, I'm standing there, it's kind of cold, so I'm sort of huddled up against the building to wait for them to, you know, call us over to the ceremony. And there were four, I'm 64, so I'm going to guess that these black women standing nearby me were probably, I'm going to guess, maybe 84. And I overheard them talking. And what they had to say was, my mama, she couldn't drink from water fountains that wasn't that, unless they said colored. My mama couldn't swim at the swimming pool and the public pool. She couldn't go to no parks. There were certain things that she didn't have available to her. And my grandmama was the same way. But let me tell you one thing. They didn't have to wait for no Emancipation Proclamation. They were already emancipated. If you're emancipated here, you're emancipated everywhere. If you're emancipated here, baby, if you're emancipated here, you can be drinking out of a water faucet that is for colored people. You can see a sign that says, colored people served in the rear, and you can walk on around back of that little store, emancipated as you want to be. Or in later days, when you can go through the front door. If you go through the front door with a non-emancipated mind, you are not emancipated. This is where you live. This is where you live. Often people say, where do you live? And I go, Montague, Massachusetts. But that's not really where I live. This is where I live. And when I am at peace here, I'm at peace anywhere. And when I'm at war here, I can be at war here at a weekend long meditation circle. I can be at war here at Unity of New York in the sanctuary dedicated to the reconnection of our mind with the mind of God. So it all takes place here. And the outpicturing is what reminds us of what's going on in here. I told you a little bit earlier that I can't drag my happiness from 2015. You know, it was wonderful, and yet it isn't all that it's available. I think I told some of you that at the end of December 2014, I was trying to find out how I was going to reconnect with the fullness of my joy after the death of my sister. She had just suddenly died of an asthma attack, and she was tighter than anybody has ever really been to me. I later had people come tight, but nobody that I loved since I was 3.5 years old. Nobody else that I loved since she was a little girl that I protected and that I felt like I had to keep alive from the moment I found that she was being sexually molested in her preschool. Nobody but her played the role that she played in my life. I was here to keep her alive. And then when she died, I didn't know how alive I could maintain being. I told some of you that toward the middle of December, of not this past December, but the one before, I was writing a whole list on how to keep Carlos alive, how to keep Carlos happy. I wrote down that I needed to treat him to 3 full body massages a week. I need to get him in some pink Himalayan salt baths 3 or 4 times a week. I needed to make sure he got Reiki treatments every day for a while. I needed to tell him, you're not just going to do the Course in Miracles lesson that you normally do, spending the 10 or 15 minutes suggested. You're going to spend 30 or 40 minutes because you need everything you can get, boy, to get your happiness back. And I was trying to do that, and I was looking at the list, and many things on my list cost. And I began to realize, I don't make enough money to get 3 full body massages a week. I don't have the capital to do that. I can't, who's gonna, unless somebody just does this for me for free, how am I gonna do this? I got very confused. And then I heard a voice that said, and I was sitting on my bed going, I gotta keep Carlos alive and happy. And I heard a quiet voice that said, you have to let him go. Pardon? You have to let him go. Who? Carlos. You have to let him go. But I am Carlos. You are who you think you are. Carlos is a story that you've told and claimed as your own. You use the I word with Carlos, which means the one I identify as. You have to let him go. You have to let him go back to heaven to be with your sister, to be with your mama, to be with your daddy, to be with your brother, to be with all of the others you have loved so much and have been living through the accumulated pain of their loss since you were knee-high to a grasshopper. You have been processing pain. You have been processing attack. You have been processing what it feels like to be molested. You have been a good soldier, but never think of it as you anymore. I want you to say he, and I want you to write him a letter. I want you to write him a letter, and I want you to tell him what a good soldier he is. I want you to think of every detail as far back as you can remember. What a good soldier. You just kept on going after that abuse. What a good soldier. You just kept on going when another abuser came along. What a good soldier. You just kept on going when those White guys beat you up because you happen to stray into their neighborhood. You're such a good soldier. After all of these pounds and all of this stuff that you have been, what a good soldier. You can go home now. And I said, what would happen then? And the voice said, a new you will rise to take his place. And the next thing I heard while I was finishing up the letter was, now write his obituary. I wrote an 8-page obituary for Carlos Wayne Anderson. Born October 16th, 1951, at 2:22 in the afternoon in Springfield, Illinois, to Norma Jean Brandon Anderson and Laverne William Anderson. Died December 13th, year 2000. December 31st, year 2014. I was told to bury the obituary and bury the letter of thanks to this good soldier out in the snow. I was told to go out to the fire pit, dig up the snow and the ice in the middle of it, set fire to those two documents, and to put them into the fire, watch them burn until they turn to ashes, and then I was told, go on in the house now and go to sleep. I did everything I was told. And when I went in to go to sleep, this was my thought. I sure hope that makes some sort of difference. I didn't have any faith. I was just doing what the voice said, like I always do. I know not to not do what the voice says. But I had no great faith. I just thought, I sure hope that's helpful. I woke up on January 1st, year 2015, a completely new creation. No sadness, no grieving for my sister or anyone else who had ever left my life and the planet. No physical pain, which I had carried since I was 22 years old after a car accident. I have always had to get massaged, had to get Rolfing, had to go to a chiropractor, carrying so much stiffness and cording in my body. I've had so many people who worked in the fields of massage therapy and chiropractic work go, how do you ever smile carrying this much stress? And I go, I've just learned to. It's been so long. I have not experienced a moment of it. Listen, y'all, I haven't been mad at anybody for anything for a whole year. I have not been sad about anything for a whole year. I have not had a reactive experience for a whole year. I have been slapped by some pieces of life, and I've never, ever had even the urge to slap back. I have had financial challenges, significant ones, in the year 2015. Not a one of them has ever rocked me off a boat. I haven't had a moment in 2015 of feeling like a reed shaking in the wind. I have been standing as a new creation, like a tree planted by the living water that cannot be moved. I had preached about stuff like this for 40 years, and I never thought it was fully possible. Because when I preached about it, I thought that you could be in heaven for the most part. T.D. Jakes says, if you're in heaven 80% of the time, call that 100% of the time. And so that's what I did. I called 80-100. And therefore, my mind and my heart weren't open to discover that there was a possibility to have 100 be 100 every day for 365 plus 2.5 days. I have been in heaven on earth because I'm not him. Timothy and I just received the news the day before yesterday that our good friend of 27 years, who I have known as long as I've known Timothy, his life ended on New Year's Eve. It was a shocking piece of news. I took it in. I got what it meant, that you will never see him again, that his incarnation is over. He has completed his parentheses in eternity, and now he's back to just being pure light and pure spirit. Yet I won't see him again or get another hug or a kiss on the cheek from him. And I noticed that it was a curious feeling that I had. And after I tracked that curious feeling, I got, this is the first time in my life that I have lost someone. I'm a new creation. I was just born January 1st, 2015. This is the first time someone I care about has ever died. So far in my life, I've never been called the N-word. So far in my life, I've never had my heart broken. So far in my life, no one has ever cussed me out. In my new life, I've experienced the experience that you can be in heaven on earth. And as I told you, every day is a good day, and this is the best day ever. When I heard that my friend had died, he didn't die in the way that I had planned. I had planned for him to live a long and glorious life and to become one of the strongest teachers and advocates to empower young people to get off drugs, and that didn't occur. So I sat on my bed yesterday and I went, is it still the best day ever, Tiger? Yep. Aren't you glad you loved him? Yep. Aren't you glad you didn't drag anything from last year into this year, even though it was a wonderful year? Yep. Because there's a new creation for me to be. This one has been awesome. But there's more out there. There's brighter brightness. There's happier happiness. There's even deeper peace. There's even more blazing creativity available. Your cup runs over with possibility. And so I say to you, you must have a new wineskin for your new wine. Jesus told his disciples, never put new wine into an old wineskin, because the chemical reaction that will occur will be that the new wine will split the wineskin down the middle and all of the wine will be lost. New thought is new wine. We can't put it into an old mind. It won't work. If your little glass jar is full of red marbles, red meaning stop, 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 and you want a jar full of green marbles, meaning go, 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 win, 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 believe, believe, have faith, just do it. You can't pour the green marbles into a little jar of red marbles. They just hit the red marbles and roll off onto the table. You've got to take the red marbles, the mind that says you are less than holy, the mind that says anything less than all things are possible. You have to take those red marbles out and then pour in the green marbles. The leader, the founder of Unity, Charles Fillmore, calls this denials, taking the red marbles out, to make room for affirmations, the green marbles. What I've noticed over the years that I've been involved with Unity, I think maybe since 1980 with Eric Butterworth, one thing I've noticed is there are a lot of people who are really, really up on the affirmation part, but who aren't doing the denial part. trying to put new thought in an old mind. This is why Jesus says, you must be born again. You must have a different eye, so that when you speak the words, the light of God surrounds me, you'll be talking about a different me. Not the little wretch or worm that I thank God the light of God is surrounding me because I'm so frail and fragile and easily upset. But no, the light of God surrounds me because I am the light of God. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name, meaning nature. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear, and there is nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is. Namaste.